as you are. You create your environment. And no one can escape from themselves. No one can save you. All this religious business about being saved and all the rest of it. It's something within that innermost mind that is a thought creation which temporarily may exist for them. That's why you get some people who go into a sort of environment or groups of people because of their thought forces in regard to their religious strong inclination, and they temporarily, for a short time, although it doesn't exist in the same way as you're talking about, and then they live together as a community, and you've even got groups of people who really believe they're going to be resurrected, you know, and they're coming back on earth in a physical body. And while they hold on to that vast idea, then they will retain that thought, and they will live in their own community. We're happy. I mean, that's another thing. It's what your happiness consists of is according to your outlook and your thoughts. Over here, all life is creating. It's even your world of sin. Why do you have wars? Man creates them. People always say, why does God forbid this? He lets you get on with it. You see, God's got nothing to do with it. Man creates his own happiness or unhappiness, and it may be the unhappiness that comes into your life is created by people around and about you. And it's not necessarily your doing. But everyone is an individual, and the actions that they begin to be sometimes can be destructive. You suffer from yourself because of your attitudes and your way of thinking. You create all the unhappiness and the misery and that enters into your world, even disease. They think that, you know, I mean, I can go to death on that. And with all the terrible things that happen in your world, in some shape or form, invariably brought about by pain. Of course, there are natural things, I mean, like earthquakes for me, which are not man's creation. But then again, that goes on disturbing nature. Look at all the rubbish you're putting up in the heavens, in the sky, and in the ground, and in the sea. Of course, man's going to reap for all that a very unhappy future. But I don't understand why people don't see this, that they are themselves the ones who create the havoc of the unhappiness and the miseries. Also, of course, they can create happiness and joy if they go about things the right way. Man makes his own heaven and hell. Oh, I hate.
Yeah.
Not a long way ahead.
Oh,
you see, you don't stop. You see, what people don't realize is that there's nothing static. Everything is changed. Everything is movement. No one stays mentally or spiritually or physically, for that matter, when on earth, the same. Life is all changed. It has to be. There's no such thing as being static. You see, all life is continuous. You're not. You see, your body, for instance, when on earth is changing every second in a way. And you could realize that life is movement and excitement and change and thrills. I mean, I wish I could explain it. When I first came here, I could make a tale of it. I thought, well, that's lucky something, you know. I can't do it down there. And it was me, you see. I didn't realize what had happened, because it hit me. And I suddenly thought, well, that's funny. You know, it's ever so odd sometimes for some people when they feel themselves for the first time outside the body. And then I realised, because people were making a lot of fuss, you know. And then, of course, my mum and dad were rather famous, you know, and mum did. She always put on a good show. But if you do that, really, you kind of laugh. When you look back on it, you know, being dead is the most wonderful, exciting business, you know. From the moment you start, you know, and you realise, you know, and people come and help you and look after you and encourage you. And of course, occasionally you get someone who comes out with it, really, quite frankly, they're so bewildered. And they sometimes think they're in a dream, and they're going to wake up, see, they don't even realize they keep the bus here. Oh, it's ever so good, not only fear, you know, it's something to look forward to. And I want to be one of my joys. It's a lovely, lovely thing. Because the experience of being in the hospital and all that, no operations, is nasty. And people drink that part of it, obviously. But once you're out of the body, you're as light as a feather. And you can go here, go there. You can watch people see what they're up to. No two shops, of course. while you're still in your world, to do the things of the spirit while yet in the flesh. And indeed, you can become a much warmer, kinder, understanding person than you actually are or have been. You've got a golden opportunity. I mean, if you believe, as we hope you believe, in the things we tell you about and try to help you with, if it doesn't make you a nicer, kinder, warmer person and a more considerate person, then we haven't done our job. But you see, 90% of the people, I shouldn't say this, but it's true, oh, this is right, isn't it? And then a lot of people who go to the spiritual churches, I mean, I'm not saying they haven't become convinced of life after death, but they haven't made changes in themselves. That's still bitchy. I mean, you go to any spiritual church, and I've been in the thing, believe me, I've been left standing, waving my hands, trying to attract the media's attention, being completely ignored. And I think, well, I don't know, she thinks she's clear voice, she can't see back the wall, didn't I? And I'll be fed up. The point is that you get all this in the church, you know, you get people to have a go at each other, you committed and bored, didn't I? I know I shouldn't say it, but it's true. We're all in this work together, doing the work of God, doing the work of the Spirit. And we should all be trying desperately to be kinder and warmer and more considerate. It's not the easiest thing. Sometimes somebody irritates or annoys you and you feel all bored, you know. But the point is that you've got to put yourself behind you. You know, a lot of people can't do that. And they want to be the king, or they want to be on the platform. And they're saying to themselves, oh, I can do better than she's doing. They probably could anyway. But the point is that you've got to make allowances. No one's perfect. And we're all striving for something, and we don't quite know what it is we're striving for. In any case, everyone would be uncomfortable in the perfect world. I'm not in the perfect world. I've never met anyone over here who would say they're in the perfect world. We're in different states of being according to our evolution and our development. And we're happy in that environment because that's the environment to which we've achieved over a period of what you call time, although we don't see time as you understand it. Everything is a matter of state of mind. And I don't know, sometimes I come down by looking, look into your world and I think, oh, I don't know. We do our best we can. We try to help people, we try to comfort them, we try to give them an insight into the things that really matter. And a lot of those people, well, they do the best they can, that's what I should say. But they could do a lot better. You know, it's funny. I could say what I meant not. But you know, you've got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. And it worries me that sometimes you don't appreciate it, or some people don't. And they just take it for granted. I mean, they go along and they get a message and they cheer them up, give them a bit of comfort for a day or two. And then something goes wrong somewhere, perhaps a bloody roll of blind flashes or something, you know, they get fed up and all.
You can't really laugh, because who would actually have done, really?
With all its weaknesses, all its stupidity, and all the things that go on, there's a lot that, really, you know, I get a giggle sometimes when I come down here and I see what's going on to the people I know, and I visit people from time to time. And they get all worked up and all tense. And sometimes it's so silly. I know they can't help it, probably. But if only they realise that although the things that they're worrying or concerned about are important, because they're still in the material world and they have to be considered, it's not the be-all and the end-all. It's when you come here and you look back and you see yourself as you really were and all the stupidities and all the things that went on that caused irritation and frustration. And sometimes where that's led you to behave very badly to someone you love. It's all very sad in that respect. But everyone has a sort of, well, I don't know, if only you could see it the way we see it. If each day you try to become a little better, try to do things better than you did the previous day, and with a little thought more concerned about other people rather than yourself. You see, a lot of people are in love with themselves, and that's a terrible thing. And one should be anxious to better yourself and to improve in a material and a spiritual and psychic sense, yes. But if you're going to be in love with yourself, and a lot of people are, they never admit it, they don't perhaps even realize it. But their main concern is what's in it for me and what am I going to get out of it? Is it going to be worth my while? And that's not the right attitude to have in life. It's what you can do, what you can achieve, not just for self, but for others. And to give yourself in life a service to others and protect yourself, that's when you begin to grow mentally and spiritually. Here, Andy. And you can live in the mansion and have nothing. I've found more love, more harmony, more beauty, more comfort with some people who live in a little tiny miserable place. It shines from within themselves. And I've been to places where, cost millions. They're as miserable as I don't know what. And they're not nice people either. Love to learn. We're on playing out singing hymns. They don't realize we're real people. We have progressed. We have developed. We have opened up our consciousness and become more adult and more spiritually aware. But you know, like me, see, I came here when I was, 11-ish? And I'm all grown up over here. When I come back to you, though, I revert mentally, well, I hope I don't, but I revert back to the old self, more or less, as you would see me if you could see me. But I've learned a great deal. I may talk common, but I can talk posh too. But I feel as respected to be as I am and respect me. You know, people got no idea. They think, you hit the other side, you suddenly become holier than thou. And you run around with a harp and playing and all the rest of these singing. Who wants eternal life singing in to play an arm? rather be dead and know nothing. No, it's all crazy. Actually, when you analyze it, all these different religions, different beliefs, you know, and that yet fundamentally the same truth is there, because you can't eradicate it to call it what is reality. But man has created a sort of religious aspect of things which has got little or nothing whatever to do with the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's no life after death, what's the point of religion? And then you get embalming people, you know, who really are narrow-minded, don't they? And they think everybody is, well, dead or ill, don't they? And they're the only ones that are going to be saved. They're all going to be carried up to the cell or whatever. She was a little bit angrier than what she was. Although she was all right in her heart, but, you know, she was a piece of angry laugh. I suppose I shouldn't. And I think her son, bless his heart, of course it was his mum, he's fond of her. But he found her a bit complicated and difficult, you know. Because old age is a thing that's purely material. Not, you know, when you get rid of the old, Christian is the butterfly comes out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be surprised. You see some of these poor old things on your side looking like, I don't know what, you know, being wheeled around poor old things, you know, aches and pains and moaning and groaning and they're scared stiff of kicking the bucket, they're holding on, you know.
Are there anybody that he's hold on to? Pushing them not married. They won't let themselves be released in some cases. If only they realise how much better off it would be. I mean, I can understand there are some people scared stupid dying. I think it is all those horror films you have and that. These people are wrong ideas.
Yes, sir.
It really
was a tragic sometimes in others. You see some of these people who really were somebody on your side as the war season. And they were full of themselves, how important they were. Indeed, some of them thought the war wouldn't go on without them. The bloody hell. You should see them over here. Cool! They've had to learn to change, I tell you. You know, people can make me laugh. People go to spook meetings, spookers meetings and all that, you know. And they think you're all going to be very religious, you know. And they keep their heads and they try to outdo each other by speaking higher or lower or whatever. You know. And they think that as a medium, they think that it can all be on a high spiritual level. No one's saying it shouldn't be. But what they don't realize is that if you want to do the work of the spirit, then you do that work as best you can under the prevailing circumstances and conditions which are presented by the people who are there. And they're the ones who supply the atmosphere, they're the ones who supply the conditions, and to some extent supply the power. But you see, you mustn't get this idea that our world consists of people who are very highly mentally and spiritually involved. Of course they are on the higher levels, the higher planes, and you don't have to be necessarily on a very low plane to be normal, as the world understands it, or to act and react and be as you were when on Earth. I mean, as we come down into your environment, so to some extent that we take on temporarily your conditions, your aspect of this, and in a consequence sometimes, and sometimes it's done for evidential reasons, we revert to the old self. And I've heard people say, oh, he doesn't have to use bad language at times. Well, what's wrong with that? You read the Bible, there's more filth in the Bible than any other book ever written. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right, bleeding, all right, you cut yourself, you bleed. But somebody once said, oh, that boy, you know, he's using bad words like bleeding. What's wrong with that? The kind of one is when you don't bleed. Then you'll be out really, you've been that wrong. Isn't that how we are?
Sometimes you take the churches to pick you up on it, don't you?
Well, you see, she
has... Is she all right? Is she all right?
Yeah, but you see, you get some of these people. Let's face it. Yeah. They're well-meaning, they're kind, and all the rest of it. And they think that the spirit world should be very, very holy. And we should all be talking to each other in a very spiritual language. And we should all be, every now and again, bursting out with song. You know, singing, stand up, or whatever. It would be boring. We are all people on different levels. And we all are searching for a greater realization or aspiration. And we enter into different environments according to our evolution or development. And there are some of us near the earth who have to work with you a lot anyway. And we pick up from you and all. People have said to me, oh, well, you talk as having things, you know, that weren't expecting in your day when you were on earth, you used certain words or things, you know. Well, of course not. But I pick them up from you lot. I mean, if you get attached to somebody, the holy, I mean, he just threw the wheels at times. But the point is, I get a lot from him, and he takes a lot from me. But that's what good mediumship's all about. That's another thing people don't realize. Because mediumship is being in tune and in touch with the instrument that you use. And obviously, if you're that in close encounter, you'll take from the medium certain things, or the people who sit on the medium, and my vocabulary, good, bad, and indifferent, is on different levels according to the people I have to be with. Whether it's you lot, I mean, if somebody comes out sitting and swears like a trooper, doesn't mean to say I've got to swear like a trooper, but it registers in the condition and the atmosphere. People got funny ideas. They think, of course you kick the bucket, that you suddenly become very angelic. But how boring we'd all be if we were all that angelic.
we wouldn't want to be here. We want to be somewhere else. The point is that there are different levels of thought into one's evolution and consciousness. And people got funny ideas, you know, they really have about us. We're real people. We're not sort of conjured up imaginary things, you know.